This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I wanted to speak about the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The translation of it is, and from them are people who say, our Lord, our Master, give us in this world hasana, and in the next world hasana, and save us from the fire of hell. I'll talk about what the word hasana means in a little bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these people, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. Those folks, these people will get what they have earned. وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And Allah is quick towards taking account. This ayah in particular, the context of this ayah is it occurs in the passage of Hajj. In the passage of the Quran that is talking about Hajj. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, about a page and a half of the Quran talks about the rulings of Hajj. In that, this is a tangent, talking about the dua that the people who go for Hajj would make. Before this, Allah spoke about people who, when they went for Hajj before Islam, they would say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. For them, Hajj was just a business opportunity, an opportunity to network. So when they would go for Hajj, even their dua was just about the dunya. Oh, our Lord, give us in this world. And Allah says about them, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. This person has no share in the akhirah. But then the correct way to approach dua, spirituality, to understand Islam is what this ayah presents, which is, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Asking for hasana, the best in this life, and the best in the next life. And most importantly, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the fire hell. This is the context of the ayah. And the context of the ayah explains to us that the way we are supposed to look at this, particularly the manasik of Hajj, the ritual of Hajj specifically, and spirituality and worship generally in Islam. The way we're supposed to look at it is, it's not meant to be just like an ATM machine. It's not meant to be where I go to the ATM machine and draw some cash and I go out my way. It's not like that. It's a relationship of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let me give you an example. When I was in university, you know, doing undergrad in computer science, we had a lot of friends who were Muslims. Very few of us would pray, unfortunately. Okay, we would always invite our fellow students to come and join us for salah, but they would always make some excuse. But the only time they would always join us for salah was the salah right before an exam. I remember this very clearly. We're going for an exam, right? And mashallah, everybody is stressed out. And then me and my friend would be like, you know what, we should pray dhuhr before we go for exam, because it's going to be a long exam and we don't want to miss dhuhr. And so all the brothers who never prayed, they joined us always. And they're making this dua. They're like, oh Allah, please help me pass calculus. And then after that, you wouldn't see them in the congregation again. This attitude is what Allah is highlighting in the previous ayah. This is the incorrect attitude towards dua, towards spirituality, towards the religion. The religion is not meant to be like a way to give us a leg up in the dunya. Okay? It's not just a way for me to get a competitive advantage over my non-Muslim colleague. It's not meant to be like that. The religion is meant to be وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the fire of hell. Salvation in the akhirah. And the best thing that we can get in this dunya and the akhirah. But the key is salvation in the akhirah. Even if in this dunya we don't get much, or we don't get what we wanted, the key remains this dunya or the akhirah. The akhirah remains the key. Right? That's the attitude. I remember when I was in high school, subhanAllah, I remember this to this day very clearly. I was struggling with physics, like many of us might do in grade 12. And I was like, you know, I read this hadith, or I heard that if you send salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, then things become easy for you. That's actually true, right? Like, if you send a lot of salawat on the Prophet, then your gham, whatever is bothering you, becomes decreased, and your sins are forgiven. This is a very beautiful hadith. We should make a lot of salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? So I said, you know what? I'm going to, in the physics test, I'm going to be stressed out, so I'm just going to send salawat on the Prophet. And I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, doing this. And then I realized it's not helping me to solve the equations. It's not helping me to figure out the answer. Of course it's not, because the dua and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ is not meant to be like a competitive advantage. It's not going to replace homework and studying and asking questions and understanding. It's not meant for that purpose. That's not what dua is meant for. That's not what Islam is meant for. It's not meant to be like, here, I'm not good, let me use Islam, and all of a sudden I'm better at physics, or all of a sudden I'm better in my occupation. That's the wrong attitude. The correct attitude is, I try my best. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Allah, give us the best in this life. And part of that is, as we'll talk about, you know, الْأَخْذُ بِالْأَسْبَابِ, taking the means that are available to us. Doing all that we can in our capacity. And then after that, تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then the most important thing is, we don't lose track of, this life is just short. You know, ups and downs happen. The most important thing is, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Give us the best in the next life and save us, O Allah, please, from the fire hell. That is the most important thing. Even if everything went wrong in our lives, as long as that goes right, alhamdulillah, we're happy. That's the attitude that this dua is teaching us. So I wanted to speak a little bit about this in light of balancing the both the worlds and how we're supposed to approach the practice of our faith in these times. Before I begin going into the of some of the details, it was said to Anas radiallahu anhu, "Ud'u Allah lana." It was asked of Anas radiallahu anhu that make dua for us. Anas is a esteemed companion. Anas is the person who Anas, if anybody knows what he was very famous for? Yes. Yes, JazakAllah khair. Very nice. If I had candy, I would give you some, but I don't. He was the servant of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not a servant that was purchased or employed. Okay, he was not an employee. He was voluntarily serving the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a very unique thing, actually. His mother, Anas's mother, radiallahu anha, came to the Prophet when the Prophet came to Medina, and she said, "Ya Rasulullah, here is this young man, he is at your service." And Anas spent the next 10 years of his life, from ages 11 to 20, subhanAllah, growing up in the house of the Prophet ﷺ and serving the Prophet ﷺ, doing whatever he needed to do. But most importantly, he grew up observing the Prophet ﷺ's practice of Islam. Our understanding of the Prophet ﷺ's habits, his rituals, his ibadah, his akhlaq, come from primarily Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and even most prominently Aisha radiallahu anha. We understand a lot of his sunnah from her. Okay, and number two, like his sunnah inside the house and sunnah, like his practice and habits, we get from Anas. Okay, we get from Anas radiallahu anhu, because he was around the Prophet so much. So it was said to Anas, make dua for us. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. He said, "Oh Allah, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and save us from the fire of hell." قَالُوا زِدْنَا. They said, "Oh Anas, you know, make some more dua. Ask for something more." قَالَ مَا تُرِيدُونَ قَدْ سَأَلْتُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He said, "What else do you want? I have asked Allah for the world, this world and the next." Right? That's it. He's like, this is the most comprehensive dua that you could want. Al-Qurtubi says, هذه الآية من جوامع الدعاء التي عمت الدنيا والآخرة. This ayah contains the dua that is extremely comprehensive, and it includes whatever is in the dunya and the akhirah. Subhanallah. In the Sahihain, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, we have Anas radiallahu anhu narrating that كَانَ أَكْثَرَ دَعْوَةٍ يَدْعُو بِهَا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Anas says that the dua the Prophet made the most from what Anas has observed, is رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So it's a very beautiful, very powerful dua. It is comprehensive. It is the one the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make the most. It was the dua when someone would ask someone like Anas for dua. Anas would make this dua. This is the dua that is the only one that is masnoon during tawaf and umrah. Okay, there is the beginning of the tawaf, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and then there is some du'as that are read on the Safa and Marwa, but those are just adhkar, huh? The dua that is to be made is the only one that we know the Prophet would make for sure, and that was from the Rukn al-Yamani to the Hajar al-Aswad, from that that corner of the Kaaba. When he would pass by that, he would make this dua. Again, to show its value, to show how comprehensive and how great this dua is. So it is something we should all learn and we should all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whenever we have the opportunity to do so. The dua talks about three main things. Number one, آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Number two, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Number three, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. This word, give us in this life, hasana. What does this mean? The meaning of this is, many scholars have commented on this. Qatada, who is a great scholar of tafsir, would say, hasanatu dunya al-afiyah fi siha wa kafafi al-mal. Okay? He would say that the goodness of life is in having health. Okay? You have well-being and health, you have no sickness, nothing ails you, and kafaf fil mal, and you have enough money. Those two things is basically a representation of a good life, isn't it? If you have enough money, alhamdulillah, you can pay your bills, you can buy what you need, of course, assuming things are halal, alhamdulillah, and you have good health, you don't have anything to worry about. That is the representation of what a good life is. So this is what Qatada explains it as. And this is not far away from what the Prophet ﷺ would recommend to people. When someone would ask the Prophet, for example, Abbas would ask the Prophet, what should I make dua for? Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, right? But also not just the uncle, he was very close to the Prophet in his age. They were almost the same age. So they were kind of like BFFs. Growing up, even though Abbas was his uncle, but they were very close in age, and the Prophet ﷺ loved Abbas very dearly. And when Abbas accepted Islam, the Prophet was overjoyed, alhamdulillah, to see his uncle and very close friend accept Islam. Okay, so Abbas asked the Prophet ﷺ, what should I make dua for? The Prophet replied, Ya Abbas, Ya Amma Rasulillah, Salillah al-Afwa wal-Afiyah. He said, O Abbas, O uncle of the Prophet, you should ask Allah for good health and well-being. That's what you should ask for. So, subhanAllah, this is a very beautiful thing. This is part of hasana in this world. Part of the good life is we ask Allah for good health and well-being. This is important, brothers and sisters, because we understand that when Allah tests us, this is Allah's test. Okay, if Allah tests us with sickness, if He tests us by taking away somebody from us, if He tests us by putting us in a situation where either we're disabled or taking care of somebody who's disabled, these are great tests of Allah. Okay, and when Allah tests us, we have to be patient. We have to take that as a testing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means for us to get closer to Him, a means for us to acquire more ajr. But we don't ask Allah for tests. We don't ask Allah, oh Allah, my life is too easy, make it harder. Okay? We don't do that. Okay? The Prophet said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves a person, He tests that person. Okay? So when we are in a situation of difficulty, we remember that, subhanAllah, this is Allah's test. And inshaAllah, this is Allah's sign of love for us. Because there is forgiveness of sins. There is unlimited reward with patience. There is unlimited reward. Innama yuwaffas sabiruna ajrahum بغيري حساب. There is no accountability. There's no account of the amount of good deeds a person who is patient is getting. At the same time, if a person is not tested, they're in a very good situation and they're doing the things that Allah asks them to do and they are living the good life that Allah has mandated, we're not supposed to say, you know what, Allah, life is too good, you know, show me some love, test me. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to ask Allah for goodness. Sallallahu al-afwa wal-afiyah. Ask Allah for health and well-being. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Our Lord, give us the best in this life. Give us good health, give us wealth, make us live happily. This is an important part. There was a man who became very sick. One of the Sahaba became very, very sick. So the Prophet went to visit him, and this man had become so sick that he had began to resemble like a chicken almost, right? Like he had crumpled up and really become a very shell of himself. Okay, so the Prophet said, "What happened to you? What did you, you know, what has afflicted you?" He said, "I said to Allah that this is something, I don't want any punishment in the Akhirah. So whatever punishment there is in the Akhirah, just give it to me now." The Prophet said, "You are not able to handle that. You cannot withstand that. You cannot bear even the slightest of Allah's punishment." Okay? So instead you should ask Allah for what? رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِّنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So this is a very important principle. This hadith, some scholars have said, this qissah is, you know, they've said that this is not a very authentic one, but it's in the books of Sirah. It's not like made up. And the point is valid, right? The point behind the story is valid, that we are meant to ask Allah for goodness and happiness in this life. It is also said, like Al-Qurtubi, for example, said, or rather Al-Hasan al-Basri said, that hasana, you know, the in this life is al-ilm wal-ibadah. Another aspect. He said, goodness in this life is not just health and money, but it is that you are on the path of knowledge, and that you are putting that knowledge into action by worshipping Allah. That's what hasana means. This is also a good thing, because if you think about the Prophet ﷺ saying, when Allah wants khair for somebody, يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. When Allah wants good for somebody, He makes them understand their religion. So the fact that a person is going and learning and then putting that knowledge into action shows what? Shows that Allah wants good for them, shows that Allah loves them, and that's the hasana of this dunya. So all those are good stuff. Alhamdulillah. In Al-Qurtubi says, فَإِنَّ حَسَنَ نَكِرَةٌ فِي سِيَاقِ الدُّعَى فَهُوَ مُحْتَمَلْ لِكُلِّ حَسَنَةٍ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ عَلَى الْبَدَلِ. Okay, he says hasana is general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not qualify what he means by that. That means everything you can assume to be good in this world is included. And that's what makes this dua so powerful, that it includes all the good that we can imagine. But the explanations of Qatada and Al-Hasan are just mere examples of what goodness in this life represents. Health, wealth, the ability to understand the religion, the ability to implement the religion. That is what the goodness in this life is referring to. The point two is, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Okay, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. He says, Al-Qurtubi says, وَحَسَنَةُ الْآخِرَةِ الْجَنَّةُ بِإِجْمَعًا. It is Al-Jannah by consensus. There's no like two opinions on the matter. The goodness in the next life is attaining paradise. Attaining and entering paradise. And the third point, the third part of the dua, which is, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the fire of hell. Qina, qina is actually two words. Qi and na. And you're like, what is this? Qi is a word. Qi is a command. Okay? In the context of dua, it becomes a request. And qi is save, you save. And na is us. Okay? So qi, you save, na, us. Then there comes the word waqiya, which means to save, which is a protector, wiqaya. That's the same root letter that is the origin of taqwa. That's the same root letter, that's the origin of taqwa, protection. Because taqwa is actually protecting ourselves from sin, from tribulation, from falling into a harmful situation. Qina عذاب النار, save us from the fire of hell. This is the ultimate goal, brothers and sisters. The ultimate goal of a believer's life is salvation and deliverance from the fire. If this is achieved, then everything else has been achieved. And if this is compromised, then nothing matters. Nothing matters. That has to become the attitude that we look at life with. Is this relationship I'm about to get into, is this a relationship that is going to take me down the path that leads to the fire of hell? That's a question. Is this business, or is this job opportunity, is this something that is going to lead me down the path of the fire of hell? Sometimes it's not easy to determine, but sometimes the signs are there. And those signs are what we have to look for. If a person, for example, just, subhanAllah, just 2 days ago or 3 days ago, there was a family that came to me and they were asking about what they can do with their son. I said, what about your son? Said, oh, his girlfriend is pregnant. SubhanAllah. I said, oh, and she's not Muslim. I said, oh, subhanAllah. I said, what can you do in this situation? And he's 19 and she's 16. Allahu Akbar. Right? Even it's like a musibah upon musibah. So, you know, these are relationships. Very clearly, they're not taking you to the right path. This is not going to take you, you know, it's a moment of pleasure. It's a moment of pleasure. And it's a lifetime of regret. And if repentance is not made, corrective action isn't taken, then it's a afterlife of regret as well. Not just a lifetime of regret now, it's an afterlife of regret as well. These are the kind of things we have to be careful about when you make decisions. This is a clear example, I'm pretty sure. Some examples are not so clear, but this is where al-hikmah comes in. Hikmah, right? Wisdom is taking time, thinking about actions, asking Allah's guidance. You know, istikhara. It's a very beautiful dua. It's a very beautiful tool that Allah has given us. It's a blessing from the sunnah to ask Allah's guidance, to ask Allah's help and support. Oh Allah, in kana hadha al-amr khayran li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri ajilihi wa ajili faqdurhu li wa yassirhu li thumma barik li fi. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this is good for me in this life and the next, then make it happen for me. Such a beautiful dua. Wa in kana hadha al-amr شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري عاجله واجلي فصرفني عنه واصرفه عني. Subhanallah. If this is not good for me, then oh Allah, take it away from me and take me away from it. This is the beautiful dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Istikhara. We make istikhara. We do istishara. Consulting people who understand. Consulting people who've been there and done that. Okay, what do you think? Should I do this? Should I start this? Should I get in this relationship or not? Ask the people who've been through stuff in life, right? And their experiences are very helpful. And then after taking all this into account, a person makes the decision. And if this process is followed, bi-idhnillah, we will avoid mistakes, and we will avoid the ultimate mistake, which is falling into the fire of hell. This is waqina adhab an-nar. This has to become the prize. This is what becomes, like, everything is determined by that. To make sure that we don't fall into a situation where the fire of hell becomes the choice that we have made. This is again a very beautiful, very comprehensive dua. The dua the Prophet ﷺ taught us. The dua that's taught to us in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us when we make tawaf around the Kaaba, the dua that he would make the most, when he was asking Allah for something. And this dua is min jawami' ad-du'a, this comprehensive du'a that contains the goodness of this life and the next, it also teaches us how to look at life. Not just what to ask in life, but how to look at life. A very beautiful du'a. Inshallah, I'll stop here. I ask Allah to give us that رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That Allah give us the best in this life and the best in the next life and save us from the fire of hell. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll end here. Any questions? Maybe we'll do after Salah. Right? Wada Ghazali? All right. Oh, question, yes.